On the second Sunday of Advent, the tradition is to focus on the prophets of the Old Testament. Interestingly, a prophet from the New Testament appears in our Gospel reading. I'm going to set him aside for next Sunday, because next Sunday there will be a separate candle for John the Baptizer, who was very much focus of our today's Gospel reading. The Old Testament prophets give us some of the most vivid and interesting writings. These were fascinating people who used everything they had in hand to send the message across. Hosea married to a prostitute, and he gave a bold name, quite appalling, to his two children. Lo Rahama was his daughter's name, which means not pitied. And Lo Amai was his son's name, which means not my people. All these prophets, they were most unliked people when they lived. Now they are highly elevated and glorified. Today we light the candle for them. But when they did their work, they were unaccepted, ignored, marginalized, beleaguered, and thrown out from the society. Why? We know. If you ask a person next sitting to you, would you like to be a prophet? They were quite strange creatures. Why they were strange? Because of the dress they put on, like John the Baptist, or maybe the food they used to eat, or long beards some people had, or maybe funny dresses, the places they lived. Whatever the reasons behind were, why they were not accepted, why they were thrown out, but whatever they had in hand, their experiences, their families, their situations, their talents, their gifts, everything they used for God's glory and for the message God gave them. Look, King Solomon, we just heard this morning, King Solomon's psalm. Whatever gifts God gave them, gift of wisdom, writing skills, they used for God's glory. Apocalyptic visions they had, Daniel, he used for God's glory. Poetry, we see in Isaiah's messages, songs, Jeremiah's poetry. All these gifts God gave them, either they were history writer, they were history writer, story historian, whosoever they were, they used their gifts for God's glory. But in result, they were not accepted. They were ignored. But they were so much committed, or they were so much fixed to the commitment they had, they felt in their life. Prophets were overwhelmingly concerned about God's relation with people and people's relationship with God and people's relation with their other fellow beings. That was their main focus. Why they gave these messages, which sometimes carries very harsh words, like what John the Baptist said, "You brood of vipers." No one is going to say today, at least to those who have authority in the church or in the politics. No one is going to use these words. And all what we see in the Old Testament, various difficult messages, difficult to digest and accept, but they gave. They were very clear that this is the message that God has given us to. But there is a thread among all these prophets. Their messages was not creating chaos in the society, but was helping the society to get out of this chaos. And how people can see hope, which is quite a word excessively used in the Old Testament and, of course, in the New Testament too. I'm sure you know the word hope is occurred more than 26 times in the book of Psalms. And the second book which contains this word most is the book of Job, the man who lost everything, families and friends and money, whatever he had. But he fixed his eyes on the Lord. His friends came and they teased him. Instead of being helpful and beam of hope and light, they were trying to bring darkness in his life. But he just focused on God, and finally he was restored. And his daughters were probably the most beautiful girls in the world. He received all that he lost. And the third book in the Bible who has this word quite excessively been used is the book of Romans. And our New Testament reading for today from chapter 15 also has this word. Hoping against hope. This was St. Paul's concern, as he says in Romans chapter 8, "For by hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what is seen? But if we hope for what we do, but we do not see, we wait for it with patience." Prophets were not those people who were basically future tellers. It's the difference between a future teller and a prophet. If you ask people, what do you mean by a prophet? They will say, a person who gives prophecy. And prophecy means talking about future. But it isn't like that. It's not as simple as we understand prophecy is. I will try to make it as simple as I can, what prophets' roles were. Or can be a prophet, can be a prophet, or also, is prophecy still alive? Prophets aim to keep us on straight path. They saw the situation in which they found themselves from God's perspective. They were basically divine analysts. They were looking at the situation and speaking into the situation to guide God's people, how they can make their relationship with God right. A prophet, it's just a joke, don't take it serious. A prophet prophesied about God's favorite horse. And he said, the king's favorite horse. The king's most favorite horse is going to die in a few days. And eventually it happened. The horse died. King was quite outraged. He was very upset. He asked him to come and commanded, "Prophet, not you tell me when you are going to die." The prophet was quiet because he got the message. Whatever answer I give, king is definitely going to kill me. Because king thought, my horse died because of his prophecy. He was just quiet. And king asked again, "Prophet, tell me when you are going to die." He was pretty sure, whatever answer I give, he is going to kill me today. And he said, "I don't know, because I have a very limited knowledge about future. I don't know when I am going to die, but I am pretty sure the king will die after 3 days I am died." When he said that, he was simply help him to understand, your horse was about to die because of various reasons. And this was prophet's duty mainly. God sent them, and they were looking at the situation, the standards, the way the poor, orphanage, and women, and downtrodden people were being looked after, and they just analyzed the situation and said, you will be attacked by your neighbors, and you will be made captive. Or you are going to be in a difficult situation. And when prophet said all these things, people thought they are talking about future, but actually they were talking about present. Why prophet's role was so difficult, why they were not accepted, because they were criticizing those people who had authority, those who could bring justice in the society. They were not ignored or they were not rejected because they were talking about future. Actually, they were talking about present. What John the Baptist did, he was talking about the present. He was not talking about the future. And we sometimes think prophets talk about the future. That's why they are not they are rejected because they are talking about the future. They were rejected because they were talking about the present, and especially they stood against the powerful people and those who have authority. Those who were prophets, they were quite committed to the message. Even today, we see people who have visions and dreams, who can look into future, and they are not fearful of the present, but they are faithful to God and speak to those people who have authority. I don't know how many years ago, 70, 80 years ago, Martin Luther King Jr., he had a dream. No one had absolutely any idea that this dream is going to come through. My children and children of those who have power and money will go to the same schools. They live a happy life. No one had any idea that one day Obama, son of a black man, will be the president of the United States of America. A man who spent 37 years or more than 37 years behind the bars, saw the restoration of his country. Nelson Mandela. No one had idea this restoration will come through, but it is. People who looked at the situation, criticized whatever was going on, and helped the people to see hope. Hope that we all need. Hope is some extraordinary spiritual grace that God gives us to control our fears, not to awe them. Without hope, life is meaningless. And without hope, life is meaningless and less. This is what God said to the prophets. He sent them to bring hope, which everyone needed, but especially those who were not expecting that one day disappointments will disappear and the eternal rule of the Messiah will come. That's why Isaiah spoke in the midst of darkness and helped people to see light. And as Martin Luther King says, we must accept finite disappointment, but we must never lose infinite hope. Hope that the world needs. How we can show hope to the world? The most amazing story in the history of the world about hope is the story of the first century Christians, especially the disciples of Jesus Christ. Ignored, beleaguered, cast out, poor, victims of oppression and persecuted small community. They were absolutely hopeless. And if they would stand in the middle of the town, people won't listen then. You lost your master, who was a young man, and he was not able to save himself. And now you are talking about he is going to save the world? You, poor people, are not able to feed yourself, and you are saying the power of the Lord is upon us. He has sent us to feed, to share the good news to the poor. You who are oppressed, how you will be able to invite those who are under heavy burden and are persecuted? But they had a hope. No one knew what is the secret behind where their hope is rooted. Their hope was rooted in the message that prophets give, but in the experience they had of living Christ. They had seen the empty tomb. That's why they were able to give hope to the world. Maybe most hopeless people became the agents of the biggest hope for the world forever and ever. And we Christians, if we have a true experience of living Christ, we will be able to give hope to our neighbors and friends. if we are rooted in that hope which comes from the messages of the prophets of the Old Testament and from the experience of the disciples of Jesus Christ, then we will be able to give hope to the world. Otherwise, there are more agents of hopelessness than hope. And this is our duty as Christians, as followers of Jesus Christ, to tell to the world that here we stand. And especially when people from the church, they are trying to help those who are not fed well to the food bank. They are trying to help those who are homeless. They are trying to help those who are sad enough that there is no better medicine than the hope for the miserable world. Let us pray for all those people and thank God for the body of Christ everywhere in the world, especially here in Krikawal, in Brecon area, wherever people of God are able to come together and find a way how we can give hope to the world. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.